Hi everyone, this is Vishen Lakhiani, and I have a very, very special person on the phone with me right now. Her name is Helene Hadsell, and she's the author of the book Contesting. Now, I got to tell you about Helene. She has done something which most people would say is impossible. Basically, Helene has this weird ability to win every contest she participates in. She's an amazing woman. Joe Vital, one of the teachers at The Secret, wrote an article on his blog saying, "This is a lady who should have been in The Secret." And in this interview, Helene's going to share the story of her life. She's going to talk about some of the masters that she had the good chance of knowing and studying from, masters such as Jose Silva. And she's going to talk a little bit about her story, about how she developed this, I don't know if you can call it a theory or an art of contesting, but she's going to talk about how she is able to influence reality or call it manufacturing luck when it comes to her life. And she's also going to share a remarkable story of how she ended up writing a book that sold 3 million copies. So Helena, you worked with Jose Silva as his PR manager for around 3 years. I'd love to know about experiences you had with the Silva method. Could you share a few interesting stories?
Yes. When we first started meeting, I opened areas here in the Dallas area and then in the Fort Worth area. And one of the things was, and this is before I start traveling on the airplane. I was afraid of an airplane, and I still had not mastered that. So as he became popular, and I would I'd call radio stations because they knew me, because I had sort of built up a reputation as a winner. And so I evidently had some clout, and I would ask him to come and interview Jose, because this was foreign to me, and a lot of the people thought it was the work of the devil when he first started out, which is stupid, but they didn't know any better. And so he was very, 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 a very proud man. And I had great admiration for him. And so I'm always saying, you come to one of his lectures, and then you be the judge. And usually when they came, and he was so, so effective and so intelligent and proud, and he just, his appearance was absolutely flawless, and I was proud to work with him. All right, there came a time when I opened Dallas, and then I opened Fort Worth, and one night he came to me and said, they tell us, and he always said, they tell us, which was in meditation, he would get a message, and I always said it came from that other dimension, because he would say, they tell us that we're to open the Chicago area. And being his, it's been about 8 months now, I'm in his PR, and I said, well, I'll tell you what, Jose, I don't need this job. Get yourself another girl, because I'm not going to fly. And he always said, we'll talk about it. And that night, I came, my husband was, he'd always been supportive of me. And I said, you want to know something? Jose thinks I'm going to go to Chicago. There's no way I'm going to go to Chicago. You know I don't like to fly. And my husband looked at me and he said, how long have you had a long Silva method and training? And I said, 7 months. He said, well, why don't you practice what you preach? And I was furious because I expected him to side with me. The next morning, I sat down, went to my level, and I said, please, somebody, someplace has got to help me. I don't want to go to Chicago. And Jose expects me to, I don't want to go to Chicago. The telephone rang, and it was a woman that said, Mrs. Hadsell, I am Mary Green, and I live in Chicago. I just read an article about you, in one of the magazines, how you enter contests and win. And you mentioned Jose Silva, the Silva method of training. And she said, I'm not interested in entering contests. I just want to know about this training that Jose Silva does. And I said, Mary, I'm supposed to come to Chicago and first of all find a suitable meeting place, put ads in the paper, and just get ready to so Jose or Harry McKnight can come up and start the first class. And she said, oh, honey, you don't have to come. She said, I work for a PR firm, a shoe manufacturing. She said, I'll get you a hotel, and I'll get you a real nice room, and at cost, I mean, there's nothing. I'll even get you a free room to sleep in. I'll go and put all the ads in the paper for you. What else do you want me to do? I'm sitting back, I can't believe it. And I said, well, let me send you some money so you, oh, no, no. She said, don't worry with this. If you're going to come and teach Silva training, she said, I also belong to the Church of Religious Science. I'll have the audience, the room full for you.
Wow.
I was just dumbfounded. See, this is higher intelligence. It's the only way I can explain it. And then 2 days later, Jose called me, and he said, well, I said, well, we're going to get Harry ready to go to Chicago to open the area. And in the meantime, my husband is sitting there, and I said, well, look how it worked. He said, all right. He says, for the next 4 days, he said, or three, 4 days, you sit there and get to your alpha level and get that stupid notion that you're afraid to fly out of your head. And that's how I overcame my fear of flying. And we opened the area, and it was very, very, very successful.
That's
and
beautiful.
She took over the program, etc. Everything is fine. I'm still a little, I'd not that afraid of flying anymore, but I'd rather not fly is the way I looked at it. It was about 3 months later, he again is in a class locally, and at that time, he was very, very generous. Any Catholic priest or nun came, the class was free to them. He just said, I just want them to share my experience, so there was no charge for him. Now we're sitting there, and we're getting ready. He tells me that afternoon when he gets in, I think you're going to open Detroit now. And I says, there's rioting in the streets, there's curfew. You don't want to go there. He says, they tell me that I'm to open Detroit. And so that means I'm to go to Detroit and find a suitable meeting place and put ads in the paper, which Mary did for me, you know. Okay, that night, I'm registering people before his class, and a priest walks up, and one of the students that already taken the class brings him in to hear the introductory lecture. And she said, Mrs. Hadsel, she said, my cousin is here, and can he take the class for free like Jose? Or said, oh, yes, yes. And I said, where are you from? And he said, Detroit. I said, oh, my God. I said, we're supposed to go to Detroit and open the class and find a suitable meeting place. And he said, oh, Mrs. Hadsel, you don't have to come. I'll take over. I'll find the meeting place. I will put the ads in the paper. I'll have a full house for you. And that's the way it went. When I worked with Jose, it seemed like higher intelligence was furiously, just constantly doing things. That's the only way I can explain it.
That's beautiful. So it seems that you were not just manifesting contest wins. You were manifesting people in your life at the right time to help you move towards your goals.
Yes, yes. And so we opened the Detroit area, and then another instructor came in there, and that's what I was doing.
That's beautiful. Helen, I have a question for you. What you're doing, do you think this is something that can be trained? Because obviously, I mean, it sounds like you were gifted from the time you were a little girl. How much of this do you attribute as a gift versus something that one could be trained to do?
I feel we all have this capability. But in our society, we're so busy and with the television and the making money, etc., these goals that are really and truly, I'm not interested in money or any television shows or anything. I'm more interested in other dimensions. What's going on there? Our finite mind can't comprehend that there are other galaxies, that there are other universes. And many are having an experience coming to me, and are reluctant to tell anybody else because it's too far off the wall. And I evaluate it and say, okay, now that's a thought form. But this is for real. This is for real. And so we are able to make people feel at ease because more and more this is happening. And I like to work with children, and I like to create a thought form, and I like to see if they're able to see that thought form and how long they can see it. Because now I'm trying to develop this so to become more proficient, to become self-reliant, self-confident, and knowing what's going on at all times. Nobody can pull, this is a coined word, pull the bull over my eyes. It's impossible. And nor can anyone take advantage of me because I won't allow it. And I think when we are very serious of becoming aware of self, know thyself, that's what it's all about. And that's the reason when I came into Peru, and incidentally, I didn't want to go to Peru, but again, I had an assignment. Again, a being appeared to me and said, I had to be in Peru on November the 11th. And I said, I don't know anybody in Peru. And 2 days later, it was a day later, when this young man that had seen me on when I was one of the key speakers at the convention in Laredo, and had remembered 2 years later, he called and said, you have to be in Peru by November the 11th. And November the 11th is what this being that appeared to me from this other dimension said. So this was confirmation. And I went to Peru, and I was over there 2.5 months. Now, I've written this. You need to read my book, Confessions of an 83-Year-Old Sage. I have all these stories in there. And they're my personal experiences. And I go in great detail.
But
all these things.
But out of curiosity, because I'm so into this story now and you're leaving me hanging, why did you have to be in Peru on that particular date?
Because I saved the boy's life.
Wow.
The entrepreneur, very, very wealthy entrepreneur,
uh-huh,
came to take mind control, wanted to be an instructor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he goes back, and there's a man in Peru that claims that he was in a boat, and he landed on shore, and there was a cave there. And he says, as he goes to this cave, it seems like people are pulling him back. He sees people, and they're pushing him back. And he knew that there was gold in this cave. And so he tells this to my friend. My friend calls me, and he says, well, he knows me, and he knows that I can see in this other dimension. And he'll get me to come to Peru, and we'll go out on this excursion, and we'll tell these people that are in this cave that any money that they find there, they're going to give to the poor. which was a bunch of bull, because he doesn't tell me this on the phone, because he said, you just have to come. And the reason I came was because he said November the 11th, and that's the date that I'd gotten from this man that appeared. And number two, I'm never foolhardy. I look for three signs, and I'm always cautioning. When you have somebody that comes to you in another dimension, don't you dare move until you have three more signs. And the first sign was, here this man appears, tells me I'm to go to Peru. I'm waiting for another sign because I already made plans to be in Sedona for a month stay, and I had it all figured out because a woman was going to loan me her house to be there. Well, it seemed that in the morning mail, I get a letter from her, and the house is not available. And I'm thinking, now I'm frustrated because I really wanted to be there. So that would be my second sign. And the sign would be, you're not to go to Peru. I mean, you're not to be in Sedona. All right, now I'm waiting for the third sign. The third sign is that night when the phone call comes from this Peter, this wealthy entrepreneur, and says, you have to be in Peru. I will pay all your expenses. I will send you to Machu Picchu. What else do you want? He was just begging me and imploring me. And when I said, okay, I have my passports in order. I'm going to find about flights and stuff. Call me tomorrow night, and we'll set all this up. There is someone there that's saying, you have to go, you have to go. All right, so I go there. I'm there on the 11th, and that night we are to meet with this man that's going to set up this excursion to go to this island and to get in that cave because there is gold there. And you know from history that the Spaniards would come over there and all the gold that they had there, they would melt and put in bars and take in ships and take it back to Spain, and the water was turbulent, and evidently a ship went amerk there, because the man actually had wood from a ship that they found in the sand there. Mm-hmm. And that night when I got into Peru, and I'm to meet this man, there was curfew there, but he's coming early, the minute I saw him, do you do transfiguration when you see somebody and their facial features turn completely different, and you're looking, you think your eyes are pulling tricks on you? It's called transfiguration. Mm-hmm. And it's a part of you that has played a role or has been in the physical body before, and now it's coming through. Well, I saw this, and this is so phenomenal because it's all written in my book, really, because I'm just quoting from my book. Mm-hmm. And while we were sitting there, I knew that this should not happen. I knew that the government, anytime there was anything found of value, the government automatically took over. Government in Peru was very corrupt at that time. Mm-hmm. And I knew this beautiful friend of mine, this entrepreneur, he would actually be, in, life would be in jeopardy if he even ventured out there. Mm-hmm. And now I had to convince this man that wants to take us on this safari that he should abort it. And how could I do this? I mean, I'm here. And all I can say is, all right, now listen. I know that in there's seven or eight people going with you. One of these people in that group has been drinking and has already boasted that he's coming into some money. And he told and somebody overheard it. Now your government knows this, and you are now under surveillance. And this man became very angry at me, and he said, how do you know this? And I said, all right, you want confirmation. I said, why don't you call one of your friends and have him come over and park about a block from where Peter's living. You get in your car and you drive around and let your friend drive around, and I venture to say that you are under surveillance. And I said, and when you get home, call us. And I said, you're going to abort this completely because I don't want anything to do with it, and I certainly don't want Peter to be his life in jeopardy. He went home. About 40 minutes later, he said, she's right. I am being followed. And so it aborted that trip. So why did I go to Peru? Really to save Peter from doing some stupid thing.
But how did you know the Peruvian government was actually monitoring this? Was it a hunch?
The man that appeared that morning was, when I got there, appeared behind Peter. So this was Peter's guide that came to me and asked me to come. Now I said, when this happens, I say, why didn't you pick somebody else? To drive all this way, I mean, come all this way from Texas to go to Peru. I says, wasn't there anybody in Peru that could have done the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
And they say, yes, if you had not come, we would have gotten somebody else, but we wanted you because he admires you tremendously, and there's other work you need to do here.
Wow.
And I had planned on staying 10 days, I told my husband. I was there 2.5 months. While I was there, I read the tarot cards, they're tarot cards, but anyway, I read people as they came. I had the embassy members lined up here to come and have readings from me. And the things I discovered about the government over there and being corrupt, I was invited to the president's sister's house as her house guest. And when the limousine picked me up to go there, and the president's aide was there, he said, and what do you think of our government? And I smiled and I said, you know, when I'm in a foreign company, a foreign country, there are two topics I never engage in, and that's religion and politics. And he just smiled, and he said, you are a smart woman. So while I was there, I could see through walls when I was there. It was the most phenomenal 2.5 months. My husband kept calling me, when are you coming back? I said, I don't know. I said, today I'm meeting with this embassy member, and he doesn't know that his son is trafficking drugs. And I said, I'm going to have to be diplomatic and tell him what's going on. He said, well, over there, just as long as you feel safe. And I said, yeah, I'm safe. I had so much guidance with me. I wasn't fearful at all. And the nice thing about this was, I'm there 2 months, and Jose came to Peru to teach his work. And when Jose came, he said, you know, I knew you were coming. He said, I knew you had this assignment long, long time ago. And he said, but I'm so glad that we got together here. So we had lunch, and I was with him the night that he congratulated all the students that finished his class and just had a real, real fun time. So this was just another Life is a Daring Adventure or Nothing episode.
Beautiful story. Helen, I have final question for you. Sorry, John, yes. I'm just going to repeat that because I stuttered a bit. Helen, I have one more question for you, because I know members in the audience are probably wondering this. You mentioned about your spec system. Could you repeat once more what every letter of that stands for, SPEC?
Okay. Spec, SPEC. S is selected. Selected. SELECT, selected. Projected, that's the P.
Mm-hmm.
Expected, that's the E. Collected, it's the C.
Now,
so if there's,
What I wanted to say, Helen, was from conversations I've had with members of the audience, people I know who's listening in, I know the big problem many people have is with the E, with expectancy. They know what they want. They know how to practice creative visualization or a Silva technique to project it. They know how to collect it and how to celebrate that success. But what holds them back is they feel a feeling of unworthiness, or they find it hard to expect it to come into their lives. What would be your advice for them?
I never excuse me, I never told anybody when I entered something, because there are people that are envious, jealous. And so I had the term of I'll bag it and then I'll brag it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The mind works. It's a very subtle way of doing it. For instance, you're going to boast, hey, I entered that contest and I feel lucky, I'm going to win it.
Mm-hmm.
And she, in turn, thinks about it and thinks, unless she's positive and really, really a good friend, she'll go home that night and she'll tell her husband, she thinks she's going to win. Well, contests are rigged, and he's going to belittle it. Okay. Now, she can pick up telepathically when somebody thinks about you, you pick up telepathically from them. If it's positive, I accept it. If it's negative, I reject it. I just say, cancel, cancel, I don't need it, and I think of something else.
Mm-hmm.
When there is somebody would call and say, I had a feeling this morning that you weren't feeling well. And I said, that's not me. I said, perhaps you're thinking of somebody else, because I feel great. I do not let people entertain negative thinking around me. And that's one thing. I mean, because we pick up so, you're not even aware of it. The ordinary person is not aware of how thoughts come to them, where they come. And when you're thinking of a person, know that they're thinking of you. It's just that simple. And if you have doubts, call them. I was just thinking about you. Were you thinking about me? And, you know, we know that this happens. The phone call rings and you say, well, I was just thinking about you. Well, there's two minds that are meeting. And it goes on all the time. So be very, very careful. If you're starting something, I won't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody until it manifests. And the day that it's to come, there is a feeling of knowing. Otherwise, it's just a calm, relaxed feeling. You know it's already done, and there's nothing else you can do about it. It's done. It's yours. And then you move on to something else. And you call it effective. Effective sensory perception, I call it. ESP. It's not a extrasensory perception. We all have it. It's effective sensory perception. Effective sensory projection. And you can project, as I did with Jose, as I do with my son. And my son picked up verbatim. Jose picked up verbatim. And you cultivate this. Jose would say, some people are good senders and some people are good receivers, but they can be both if they're really seriously considering it. Well, he was a fantastic receiver with me. And so that was, at that time, remember, this was in the early 70s, all of these telephones and computers and things where we could communicate with each other. So we just relied on this method, And it worked. It was successful.
Thank you, Helen.
So anything you want, you can have, provided you know what it is. And stay with it. I say there are never, never, never any failures. No failures. Only a delay in results. And you back that delay in results by being negative, by telling somebody else your goal, and they in turn saying what makes her think she's going to win it. And there they did, negative, and then you start doubting because it comes into your mind. What comes into your mind was, I don't know if I'm going to win this or not. That's not your thought. It's somebody else's thought that's projecting to you and making it up, and you think it's yours. It's not. And if it is negative, then just, I'm not going to handle that. I'm not going to entertain that. And you can change your mind and think of something else.
Wow. I love what you just said about rephrasing it as a delay in results. It's never a question of whether you're going to get it or not. It's simply when. And the negative thoughts simply delay the outcome.
Uh-huh. Delaying results. And this is a term I used, quite frequently with people. They say, well, I worked so hard and I entered all these and that. Honey, you're just having a delay in results. Stay with it. Yes, and then a month or two later, it came. I mean, see, when you're dealing with people in contesting, the energy is tremendous, tremendous. In my book, I talk about going to a television show in California, and I'm sitting there, and they were giving prizes at random to the audience. Mm-hmm. And first of all, there's a color television that they're going to give to the audience. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, my mother wanted a color television. I think I want that television. And there's a mass audience there, and they project to me, and I win this television. Well, during the break, I met two women who were sitting beside me. And this woman said, I've never won anything in my life. And I said, what do you want? And she said, well, I need a new refrigerator. And we had a break during that it was a talk. It was a giveaway show. I don't remember the details, but it's in my book. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we're sitting out there, and I said, okay, why don't you see it as already having won it? And I'll work with you with this. And you can get your refrigerator. She looked at me like she thought I was a nut. And we got back in there. And I said, just see the refrigerator. Come on, see it. And we didn't get to sit together because there were so many, many people. And I'm sitting there in the middle, and she's sitting up there on the top of the place. And do you know that this man walks up and points to her and says, you're going to win the refrigerator. You won the refrigerator. And she said, and afterwards, how'd you do it? And I said, well, you wanted to, didn't you? See, there's all these people there. They were wanting to win things. And it's, but they, like she said, she doubted it. So you don't doubt it. You just go with the flow. And that was another thing. I got on Art Linkletter that way. I wanted to meet Art Linkletter. Very popular at that time. Had a talk show. And I went there specifically. And when I got to his place, the gate was closed, and they said they weren't allowing any more people in there because the theater was full. And they gave us tickets to go to another show. I stood there, and the doors closed. All of a sudden, everybody's gone to this other show. There's taping over there in Hollywood all the time. All of a sudden, the door opens and a page comes out. And he said, there's no room in here. I told you that. I said, no, I came to see Art Linkletter. He said, just a minute. He came back and he said, there's one seat left. You can have the seat. He said, evidently somebody didn't come for it, and there's a seat up there. So he takes me into this studio, and I'm up. They have stairs going up, and then there's a platform and more stairs going up. All right, now I'm sitting there about, I'd say, about seven rows from the bottom platform. Art Linkletter comes out and welcomes everybody and so forth, and it's supposed to be for a Christmas show. He's welcoming everybody. And all of a sudden he says, today one of the members of the audience is going to win a very, very special prize. And looks over the audience, walks up, and I'm third in the row. I mean, I'm not on the aisle at all. I'm third in the aisle. And he points to me, and he says, you are going to win a very special prize. Takes my hand, takes me down, and I'm on the show. What I won was a $1,500 LeCoultre wristwatch.
Oh, wow.
And this is very interesting. The night before I wanted to meet Art Linkletter, I sat in my chair and used the Silva method of going to level, picturing Art Linkletter, and saying to Art, when you see me, you'll recognize me. When you see me, you'll recognize me. That's all I said. And that morning, I know that he's going to recognize me. I know it. And when he came up, now this is so interesting, because now I get this LeCoultre wristwatch. He keeps saying, don't I know you? Don't I know you? And he probably had a dream. And after the show, he's talking, you know, and credits are on, and we're standing there. He said, you know something? I know you. And I laughed and I said, well, I probably remind you of something. I did not have the heart to tell him that I was using this projection. And it worked. It works, you know, on many, 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 many different, well, I could talk forever, really and truly, because there's so many techniques. What is this all about? Know yourself. Know your capabilities. Know what your potential. Know what you can do. Don't limit yourself. For heaven's sake, life is a daring adventure, kids. Make it daring. It's daring or it's nothing. Okay, I want to say, make every day special. Share a joke. Hum a song. Pass some special joy along. And if someone should come your way who doesn't share your joy today, the hell with them.
Thank you,
I'm
Helen.
I'm serious.
This has been an amazing interview. It was such a delight talking to you and hearing those stories. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today and to share these stories. I know it's pretty late where you are right now.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I'm going. I still have a blueprint to do before I go to bed. Not to
and,
worry.
And to the audience members listening in, we're going to give you a chance to ask a question to Helen, and we will soon be doing a follow-up interview where we will actually be asking your questions to Helen. Now, naturally, it depends on the number of questions that we get. We'll pick the most common questions, and you will be invited to come back in and listen to your questions being answered. Thank you so much, everyone. Have a good evening.